Himilayatamavaistam. Lochananiti avasatam. Sri Sukha Uvacham. Vachonisamya Kripanam. Bandunam Bhagavan Harim. Milayatama Vaistam. Lochananiti Avasatam. Please read it. Sri Chukha Vacham. Vacho Nisamya Kripanam. Badunam Bhagavan Harihim. Nimilayatama Vaistam. Lochananiti Avasatam. Si Chukha Vacham. Vacho Nisamya Kripanam. Padunam Bhagavan Harihim. Nilayatama Vahistam. Ochanamiti Avasatam. Si Chukha Vacham. Omi samya kripanam padhunam bhavagan harim. Nimilayatama avahistam. Lochanamiti avasatam. Ladies. Sri Chukha. Choni samya kripanam adhunam bhagavan harihim. Devotees, the absolute truth, the supreme almighty Lord, is actually a young blissful cowherd boy named Krishna. God is truthful and his mentality is playful. When he saw that his beloved friends were terrified of the forest fire, he simply told them to close their eyes and not to be afraid. Then Lord Krishna acted as described in the next verse. I'm going to read the translation. All right, the voice replies, and immediately closed their eyes. Then the Supreme Personality, then the Supreme Lord, the master of all mystic power, opened his mouth and swallowed the terrible fire, saving his friends from danger. Purport. The cowherd boys were suffering from seal fatigue, hunger, thirst, and were about to be consumed by the horrible forest fire. All this is indicated here by the word krishkrat. Om Agyana Tiri Mendasya Yanam Chala Sakalakaya Sakshur Militam Yana Asma Isu Kudidirva Namaham Ichaitanya Namo Vistan Sapitam Dena Putale Vayam Rupa Sada Mahayam Adati Swapasa Kikam E Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinavandu Chakatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rade Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Chakri Devi Pranama Kriyam Panchaka Pataru Vircha Kripa Sindhuya Eva Cham Atitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaham Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay.
In these two verses, we can see clearly the grade of trust and credibility, and at the end, the surrounding or succumbing into this endless love for Krishna that restores their composure and faith that everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be great. They're going to be saved. And Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse 9, the chapter is the transcendental knowledge. Jamna karma chame divyan evam yogati tatva taham tyaktya deham purnar jama naitimam eti so yunam. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is a promise, as the Judeo-Christian tradition says, it's a promise. Whoever takes shelter on him, whoever trusts Krishna, whoever knows Krishna, which is really difficult, it's almost inconceivable, and we can see it in the in the Canto 10, Chapter 14, the Brahma's prayers, in which it is really almost incomprehensible, his personality and his potencies and his all his spiritual qualities, that if we take shelter of him, we're going to be saved. We normally pay attention to the news, to politicians, to people that come and tell us things, and we, with all the faith, we vote for this or for that one. We hear things that are confusing permanently, and we believe it with faith, but we do not discriminate what is true and what is what. And if we know the transcendental nature and of the appearance of the Lord, if we understand or try to elucidate who he is through chanting his holy names, by reading the acharyas, by reading the scriptures, the holy scriptures, we're going to grasp, because that's the only thing that we're going to do to grasp who he is. But we got to make it with faith, with trust, with conviction, honestly, no, with purity of heart. We have to leave everything in the doorsteps and getting into his abode in a way and truly seek for shelter on his words and his names. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, and verse 18, that says, as a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions of one's sinful activities. So, I'm going to read also the foreword, because I think it is relevant. Fire will act regardless of whether handled by an innocent child or by someone well aware of its power. For example, if a fire of a straw or dry grass is set afire, either by an elderly man who knows the power of fire, or by a child who does not, the grass will be burned to ashes. Similarly, one may or may not know the power of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one chants the holy name, he will become free from all sinful activities. Chanting the holy name or the holy names is the same thing like being with Krishna. When the cowherd boys were in distress, were surrounded by huge walls of fire, Krishna and Balaram were a little away, and they start calling him, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, come." He calmly come and says, "Just close your eyes. Don't be afraid." And they did it. Can you imagine you being in the same situation, in a moment of danger, and you're going to be killed for some external agent, and somebody says, "But just close your eyes. You won't do it. We won't do it. No, just give me a gun, no, or throw me a lifesaver, or you know, or an extinguisher, or whatever. Just throw me. This is fire, man. No, just close your eyes." And with faith and conviction that he will do it, resolve the situation, he does it. He did it. He did it beautifully. Lord Brahma, in a moment, as I said before, in chapter 14 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Canto 10, he ends up praising the Lord and saying, "We cannot grasp his potencies." Throughout that verse, Krishna is being described as this playful, joyful, adorable being with a beauty that goes beyond beauty, that we cannot describe with words, you know, adorned with the most magnificent jewels and peacocks and garlands, with the most smelly flowers and the aromas, and everything was beyond words. He cannot describe. He spends an entire chapter trying to praise the Lord in the most amazing way, a beauty that transcends all beauties, that do not permit us, if we want, if we're ready to surrender to that beauty, to get distracted with Mahamaya, with the external, absurd, material world. We see them every day, you know, how beautiful they are. Flowers from Colombia, dresses from India, gold leaves from amazing places, I don't know where they're coming from, sandalwoods and teak woods and things. But all together create this sense of beauty beyond beautiful. So we cannot get distracted with the so-called beauty. The beauty that is, in a moment, vulgar and pedestrian. But we get entangled with that. We don't trust. And the last chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, and verse 66, which is everybody knows, everybody uses it. I'm going to read just the translation. "Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Do not fear." We don't have to be afraid of anything. We cannot. If we trust God, if we have full faith on Him, nothing is going to happen to us. If something happened to us, it's because it's meant to be. We need to read between lines what is what that thing that was contrary to what we were expecting means in terms of it's God's will. It's not us. It's not the circumstances. There's something that Krishna, that God is telling us, oh God, I didn't get that job. Oh, good Lord, how am I going to pay the rent? No, money will come. Nothing, there's no problem. There's no contrary circumstance that is bigger than we are. If we trust Krishna, if we are fully surrendered, there's nothing. Srila Prabhupada made it at 70 years old with 150 rupees in his pocket and a bunch of manuscripts, two heart attacks in his pocket, and made it a few weeks later to Boston. And he trusted. He came to New York, the most aggressive city in the planet, and with a tambourine or a little drum, went to chant every day the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we are what we are thanks to our founder Acharya. He trusted all along because he wrote it. You're going the one that is going to help. Everything comes from you. Why? Because he was pure of heart. He was convinced. He was absolutely surrendered with total faith. As I said before, we trust politicians and we vote for them. Oh, this one is the one that is going to resolve the problems of the country. Boom, again. More taxes and more problems and more wars with everybody. We trust charlatans everywhere. Now, oh, this guy said this. That sounds interesting. But has nothing but sound power and sound effect, but no substance. The substance is in the shastras, in this science, in this philosophy, in this way of life. This is a way of life that has been described thoroughly, how to live in a way that God, being in the center of all what we do, is going to, so to speak, of resolve our needs. We're going to have our needs met if we have Krishna in the center of our actions. Every action that we do, Krishna has to be in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, it is described in a succinctly. This chapter describes the prayers Brahma offered to Lord Krishna, who's also known as Nandanandana. For his satisfaction, Brahma first praised the beauty of the Lord's transcendental limbs and then declared that his original identity of sweetness is even more difficult to comprehend than his opulence. Only by the devotional process of hearing and chanting transcendental sounds received from Vedic authorities can one realize the personality of Godhead. It is fruitless to try to realize God through processes outside the scope of Vedic authority. So, yeah, it is only by that. There are scholars and teachers and academics that know about Krishna and about the Shastras, and they go to universities and teach about that. And they have classes like comparative religions. They know who God is, and they know it with the larger view, a pan view, because they've been studying all different religions. But are they affected by that knowledge? No. For them, it's a means of getting a paycheck every month and be famous because they're investigating, they're writing interesting books that we always speak in with friends at the time of a party. And wow, that guy knows a lot of philosophy. Woo. No? But there's no substance. When we read and chant the holy names, when we, say it again, grasp by reading the books that Srila Prabhupada took the time to translate and summarize and took his time, his life, to bring this, we have to honor that. All that time, all that wonderful disposition from a man that could have a life, a different life. But he decided to translate this for our own benefit, because he knew by reading and by his spiritual master, and reading endlessly all the Shastras and summarizing for us, no, we are privileged. We're almost as privileged as the people in Vrindavan, where most of Krishna's pastimes happen, that are wonderful. That is why it's a sacred place to go. Krishna's energy still hovers in India, wherever Krishna went, wherever Krishna had something, that energy and that mercy still there. And is brought up through the holy name. It is by the readings and teachings that it still hovers between us. We pray to the Lord to be with him permanently. No. And we hear his voice. We feel his touch, even though there's no hand, but through the words that Srila Prabhupada translated from the Shastras and from the people that live that time and wrote about Krishna. So in summary, when chapter 11, when Krishna said, close your eyes, don't be afraid. He is a blissful and playful boy, blue boy. It's just a mere little description. As I said before, chapter 14, Brahma tried to describe, and it's all over, you know, about all the potencies, all the spiritual qualities, all the tremendous power that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has. We cannot understand him fully. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, verse 1, also said, do you remember the, yeah, no, 7:1. No, 7:3, excuse me, 7:3. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. It is true, but it's not to be discouraged. It's not that we're not going to know who Krishna is, who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. No. We got to do it with faith. We got to do it with conviction. We got to do it. No, we need to do it for our own salvation, for our own progress in a spiritual path. No, conviction and faith are the means for us to understand who, and purity of heart, are the vehicles for us to understand who God is. Any questions? Any comments? Criticism? Excuse me?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much for your class.
Thank you for attending.
One of the most important points you were mentioning was showing our gratitude to Prabhupada. You were mentioning we're just as lucky as the devotees in Vrindavan. Prabhupada came here and translated all these literatures, and you were expressing your gratitude, how fortunate we are, our fortune, that he came here to put out the fire of our material existence. Obviously, I think somebody quoted that verse from the prayers for Mangarati. Samsara Davanala, spiritual master, puts out the fire of our miseries. However, maybe you could expand on some of these points I was contemplating about gratitude. Because generally speaking, in the material world, you show gratitude and attention and love and respect, generally when you could get something out of a person. Like, you're going to show gratitude to your professor, because if you're not grateful, if you're disrespectful, you're not going to graduate. If you want some charity from a philanthropist, you're going to show them some gratitude, some respect.
Exactly.
And the tendency is that even maybe with the guru Maharaj, I want to get initiated into the VIP Padam Pada system. Therefore, I'm going to, show some gratitude, some respect. Unfortunately, there's so many people, just like almost 2 years ago, my neighbors had a fire, and a whole bunch of firemen came. Not one fireman, but several. So we see that in our spiritual life, there's so many people who helped us put out the fire of our material existence, not just one person, our Diksha Guru, but so many Shiksha Gurus, so many mentors, so many. The problem is that when a guru chastises us, we're not going to retaliate. The problem is that when so many other Shiksha Gurus or mentors help us, when there's one disagreement, we don't mind, blasting them. And so that's kind of one aspect. I have another question on the flip side of the coin, but maybe you could explain, do you think these are obstacles or in our devotional practices? And how can we give up this motivation of just showing gratitude and respect to, because I could get something out of somebody, including a spiritual master. I want to be initiated into the VIP Padam Pada system.
You're right. Thank you for the question. Gratitude is one of the qualities of a Vaishnava or a normal person that has some manners. I was telling you on Monday, my first class, that insolence is the threshold for violence, opens the door for violence. Insolence, to be an insolent person, not being grateful. Huh? Yeah, no. But that's what I'm going. I'm going there. And gratitude is a way to respond to something that has been done positively to us, even if it is not that positive. We got to be grateful. We got to thank that person or that circumstance for what is happening to us, how that is affecting us. And the response from our heart is of gratitude, of happiness, of satisfaction for what we are getting. Yeah, there are many people in surrounding us, telling us what to do and what not to, what is good, what is bad. But there's one way, and it's indicated by Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. There are many charlatans out there, people that say things that confuses, as I was saying. And we got to be grateful that we have Srila Prabhupada, that we are in a network of devotees that are in the same page that we are. That is an important thing. Who we are with is going to determine who are we going to be. We got to be grateful for that. Gratefulness is a reaction, a positive reaction from our heart that comes out for a circumstance, a word, an action that will affect us in a positive way. And that is greatness, because sometimes you need humility, because sometimes those actions or those words are contrary to what we're thinking or expecting. But gratitude cleanses our spirit and ourselves. If we get furious for that, if we react negatively, the only ones poisoned with that is ourselves. And that is going to be a roadblock in our spiritual advancement. So we cannot react, or we shouldn't react as meat eaters sometimes. They're like, no, overreact. Or react with distance or with negating or invisibilizing the person or the circumstance, and that is it. But we're poisoned. We're mortified for that. That is not going to help. So gratitude is an important aspect in our lives. Pardoning, forgiving, understanding, and gratitude all are intertwined. Those feelings are part of the gratitude of being grateful. That does answer your question? Yeah.
Very nice answer. Thank you. Maybe you could answer and expand on my second part of the question. Because like we were saying, gratitude means to thank somebody. We've all received some help, and we've also given some help. So this second half of the question is how we could basically, I'll give like an example, how we cannot be too proud that I'm helping somebody. Like, they owe me gratitude. Fall into that trap, because there's many, there's a pastime where maybe you've heard about it. I'll briefly skim over a couple of things I've heard. You, in the Bible, long story short, Jesus went to a leper colony. And all the lepers asked Jesus, please heal us, because we know you're a great healer. And so Jesus healed all of them. And when, this was like 11 of them, 11 lepers. And 10 of them went away just happy, joyful. Woo! And then only one came back and said, Jesus, thank you for healing me. And Jesus says, did I not heal 11? Where are the other ones? So I like this passage. Not that Jesus, he doesn't need our gratitude, but he's explaining that, you know, we may be physically healed, but we'll still remain diseased if we're not spiritually healed with gratitude. So my I'll share on one last example.
Go
ahead.
When we are waiting for you owe me one, and I help you and I did it, and you owe me one, we're waiting for the fruitive results of our actions. That's wrong. When we help somebody, we have to be grateful for one thing, because we have become the instruments of Krishna, of God, that heard his or her prayers to have something resolved, and we help her or we help him. We were his instruments to resolve that. We have to be grateful for that. She owed me or he owed me nothing. I'm just being an instrument of God's will. So nobody owes nothing here. Okay.
Very nice. And you use the word instrument. We're Krishna's instrument. And,
yeah.
Ramananda Roy says, I'm like a string instrument and the Lord plays me according to his will. And we see that when an instrument breaks, anyone can get a new one. So when we break, when we become proud that I'm doing something and I'm not Krishna's instrument, Krishna will get another instrument.
Yeah.
We're not expendable. Is that the phrase? We're not expendable or something like that, I think.
Being the pliers and doing something with the pliers doesn't mean that the pliers have to feel like it is a press, you know, or a bigger instrument. No, it's just pliers.
All right, I want to share one last obstacle that in our relationships with devotees regarding this subject matter, because I remember a devotee told me years ago, they said they have their Disha Guru, like, we all only have one parent, one mother and father. And we all have many brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties to help us. Same way, in the Adi Lila, chapter 1, verse 35, it says we only have one Diksha Guru. But Prabhupada says we have many Shiksha Gurus to help us. And I remember one devotee told me that they says, I have my Diksha Guru, I have my God brothers for my Diksha Gurus, but sometimes my God brothers make me feel like if I hear any other Shiksha outside those who are initiated by my Diksha Guru, then this is wrong. It's not considered faithful or fidelity. And I would kind of disagree with that, because there's a pastime. There was a pastime, maybe you could look it up. It says, Daksha curses Narada. I think this is from the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, but you could look it up. Long story short, Daksha, he had many sons. He raised and he put out the fire. Their material, like parents, they help us in so many ways. And Daksha...
Do it slower, please.
Our parents help us in so many ways. So Daksha, he instructed his children, his 10,000 children, and he told them to go to the forest and perform austerities, very difficult austerities, so you can become householders to populate the universe. And so when Narada Muni saw Daksha's children performing difficult austerities to populate the universe, he descended from wherever he came from another planet, from the spiritual world, and he told them, why are you guys performing so many difficult austerities just to populate the universe? You should use these austerities to become detached from material existence. And of course, Narada, he has many householder disciples, so he's not advocating everyone becomes a brahmacharya renunciate. So they became so inspired by Narada's teachings that they left. They were never going to become householders. And Daksha, he became so infuriated, but he didn't say anything to Narada. So he had another 1,000 children. They did the same thing. He told them to go to the forest, perform austerities. Narada foiled his plans again. And then Daksha says something to Narada. There was a debate going on. He says, for somebody to artificially accept renunciation, a brahmachari life, or a sannyasi life without just artificially dressing in like saffron, it's not going to make somebody detached. And Prabhupada says, yes, this is true. But Narada essentially gave the argument that like if you send a 5-year-old boy to college, he's going to fail, right? But Prabhupada is essentially in his pastime paraphrasing makes the point, Narada, by his bhakti shakti, he made them to prodigies. Just like if a 5-year-old prodigy goes to school, it'll be fine for him. So by Narada's bhakti shakti, he made these the sons of Dakshas very profound. So my question regarding this point is that sometimes we may have like our shichaguru, like, and they may feel that I've given you so much, and you should be faithful to me. But I say, you know, everyone, if you want to go to college, your parents can't always help you, or many people can't help you if you want to study a different subject matter. So how can we maintain our relationships for people, who, you know, our loving relationships who make us feel bad? Oh, I should get exclusive shiksha from you, and I shouldn't go to somebody else. And we see that goes on all the time. And then there's fights, arguments, and relationships break up. Maybe you could expand on some of these points.
Yeah. No, the only thing is that I'm going to do is referring again to the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 66. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion, knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Super Soul, knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. Period. Nothing more. As I'm saying, Srila Prabhupada, some of his disciples that had followed his instructions are the only ones authorized in order for us to keep following his steps, and Krishna's true knowledge is the only means to, are the only means for us to get into what we're trying to head on. The rest, as I'm saying, not all are charlatans, but we have to take it with a little grain of salt. There are other religions and other ways of seeing God that probably will enhance our spirituality, but that cannot make us create any confusion. As I was saying, we have to surrender to all what is being written here and the other books that Srila Prabhupada translated. The only way, not the only way, in my eyes, is not just reciting every day the Sri Guru Astakam and things that we are going to honor him, or pray his obeisances, pay obeisances to him, is through following his instructions, is the only means for us to not get confused. We can hear other people's sayings and points of view, but if we're fully surrendered, if we truly have faith, the cowherd boys just close their eyes to Krishna's words at the time of danger. And blindly, they knew that they will have salvation. It's as simple as that. We cannot doubt that that our parampara and the disciplic succession is going to be wrong in any way. If we think so, what are we doing here? I think so. I don't know. Anything else?
No, there's nothing else. Oh. I was just, my question was directed towards shiksha among people who do have faith in the Padampada system. So sometimes that was the, not like outside the Padampada, but inside. That was my direct, yeah. But I think the answer still applies. So that's,
yeah. Say it again. I'm sorry.
Still faith in Prabhupada in the end, that he's the foundation, still yeah. The foundation is gratitude. Anyways, more could be said, so that's all I have to say. So anyway,
okay.
I just want to clarify that point, not outside.
Okay,
inside the community, so of people who do have faith in the Bhagavatam and Krishna conscious teachings, basically. And so anyways.
Thank you for your intervention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam.